All right. All right.
Martha, you're a Martha.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen.
You're such a Martha.
So, for over 10 years at our house, we had people over for dinner every Wednesday night. Sometimes a lot of people, anywhere from, what would you say, 12 to 20 plus, right, Beth? Typically for dinner at our house. It started out with just the worship team, and it was, I remember it just being December and Michael for a while. And then they started bringing their friends and girlfriends and boyfriends and husbands and wives, and usually not both. It grew. So we had a lot of people over, and there were great discussions. A lot of people remember that. It feels like this whole section is empty right in here, and I did wear deodorant today, so it is safe, just to let you know. At any rate, maybe I should just come over here. And it was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of work, and a lot of times I didn't think about the work, but Beth did. She thought about all the work. She never was sure either who was going to show up. Sometimes, they call an hour before or even less and say, I'm not going to make it. And that was a hassle because of the groceries that you'd shop for, the amount that you'd cook. Sometimes it's like, oh, we're bringing four of our friends. And so it was, it was definitely a hassle. Stressful, definitely more stressful for Beth than for me. Beth was actually amazing at it, but it got frustrating for her at times, not only with not knowing who was going to show up and people not indicating, because, sometimes people are last minute about things, and sometimes emergencies genuinely come up, cancellations and drop-ins and that sort of thing, but also when she would ask for help, sometimes it was like people wanted to be in. I get it, they wanted to be in on the discussion. The worship team had to practice, and so it was tough to get help. And toward the end of this time, Beth decided that she had enough. And it wasn't just this. It was some other things that went on, some other criticism that had happened that caused her to say, I need to take a break. So you may remember that she took a 40-day break from ministry, a fast from ministry. And I was real encouragement to her because I said, don't make Jesus sad. And I told her that the minute she was done, she had to hit the ground running again. So I was really encouraging to you, wasn't I, hon? Yeah. But many of us can relate to Martha. And I definitely know Beth can relate to Martha. She even initially named her house cleaning business Martha Martha. And then she changed it to OCD services. So you kind of get the idea. OCD, by the way, stands for what? No, it stands for organizing, cleaning, and designing. That's Beth's. Yeah, that's Beth's version. So many of us can relate to Martha. She was the one who saw the need in the room and addressed it. No problem with that. Here she was, it's like Jesus and his disciples show up and say, we're staying for dinner. And Martha's, okay, I got this. Let's see, what do we have? What are we going to do? She makes a plan, she puts things together, she goes to work, and you can see her in the kitchen. She's, finding the lamb, she's slaughtering it, she's roasting it, she's getting everything together, she's the rattling of pans and so on, and she addressed it, the actual need there. Whereas Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. So she was okay with Martha doing all the work, right? Who am I defending here? Am I defending the person that Jesus is defending? She was okay with Martha doing the work. I'm just taking it from Martha's standpoint here, right? Was she not aware of the logistical issues? Was she clueless? Was she inconsiderate, or was she just lazy? What was Mary? Tell me. Or, as a Jewish woman, was she just, really, did she just have an awful lot of attitude and think that she was really all that, as a Jewish lady sitting at the feet of a rabbi? She shouldn't shouldn't be doing that. That was not okay. It was not kosher. And so she, you know, in addition to all this other stuff, she just adds some hubris to the mix. So what is going on here? You know, if I read it down to that part, I'm like, I get it. Well, I'd be upset too. Martha, couldn't you get any help? Doesn't it bother you that Mary's sitting in there, and Mary, who is your sister, who should have seen the need to and been in helping prepare the dinner, because there's upwards of 15 or 16 people here for dinner, and possibly more. It's like a Wednesday night band rehearsal dinner, and they show up. It says that Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. And the thing that's strange about this is that she comes to Jesus and she says, you tell Mary that she's not being very helpful. Can't you see? Don't you care, Mary? She's just that far from scolding Jesus, which is not what you really want to do. But she's essentially scolding Mary to Jesus and asking Jesus to come in and do something about it. And when you read to the end of this passage, you get this sense of like, well, what you're supposed to do is not worry about the details, not worry about feeding people, not worry about what needs to be done. Sit at Jesus' feet, and it'll all work out. Meanwhile, there's always someone in the background making it all work out. Right? So what's this about? Do you not like my message so far? You're a Mary. And that's okay. Apparently a Mary is a good thing. Well, since she was, Martha was distracted. I like the way the King James puts it, because nobody speaks like, you know, the King James. Martha was cumbered about by much serving. You ever been cumbered about by much serving? Serving is bad, right? No! The word that's used for serving here is the Greek word that we use for deacon. It's the word that's used for service. That's what Martha was doing. She was serving. And service isn't bad. In fact, let's look at the first slide here. In 1 Peter 4:10, I think of this passage, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. That sounds like a commandment to me. At least a strong suggestion, right? So we are encouraged and commanded to serve. I love the way that Martha comes in and says to Jesus, Martha believed that she was God, that Jesus was God, and believed him. Maybe she didn't believe him. But she appealed to God and says, doesn't it seem unfair to you? And see, what I see, the problem is that Martha wasn't, it wasn't the problem that she was serving, it was her attitude about it. It was that she got bitter about it. It seemed unfair to Martha, and she was hoping her sister would call her out on her thoughtlessness. It was unfair. When I think about unfair, I think about the time when City's Edge was just starting. We had just moved to the west side, and we were meeting up at Nancy Riles Middle School. For those of you who were with us then, thanks for sticking around. Glad you're here. We did a big outreach, and Gary, you'll remember when you were a young, when you wore a younger man's clothes, which is never. Not since I've known you. You remember climbing up all those stairs and going with us to put door hangers on houses, Gary? Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And driving around in your truck, and Trey and I, and Beth and Stephanie for a while, would go, and we put about 4,000 or 5,000 door hangers on houses to invite people to this concert drama event that we were going to have on September 20th, 1998, in the park, Griffith Park. And we went all out. We rehearsed the drama team, we rehearsed the band, we were gonna speak a little bit, tell them about church and invite them to church. And we got there and we set up and we put everything together. I believe it was a Saturday afternoon. We set everything up and it started to sprinkle. And then it started to rain. And then it started to pour. And we hastily covered all the gear, thinking this might pass, but it just got worse. And so we carefully loaded everything back in the trailer, and we left like rats from a sinking ship. And that's what it felt like. It felt like a sinking ship. City's Edge felt like a sinking ship to me at that point. This church felt like a sinking ship. And I remember driving home, just wanting to process with somebody, but they were all gone. And I'm asking myself, I'm disappointed, hurt, confused, even angry with God. And I had some words for him. Some of them are not repeatable. But the words were such things like, why? Did I do something wrong? Do you not want people to come to church? Am I not supposed to be doing this? Am I not fit to be a pastor? Honest questions. And God answered me. He said, you know, Dan, I've never really liked you. You kind of annoy me. Actually, it took years to get a sense of, maybe some sense of why that happened. I felt like we gave it our best, and I felt like God just rained on our parade. It took years to get a sense of why, and there are several things I learned out of that. One is, don't select leaders who aren't fully invested. Okay? So, don't rely on cool people, rely on committed people. That's what you gotta do. Number two, I need to learn to love who he puts in front of me and not worry about numbers. And number three, crap happens. Roll with it, not in it. Sometimes when life seems unfair, God is trying to teach us a difficult lesson. I think that's what he was trying to do with Martha. Because life did seem unfair to her. She was doing all the work. And nobody seemed to care. And God was trying to teach a difficult truth. One that might have been a difficult one, and Martha might have been stuck in it. And there have been a lot of things I've been stuck in my life. And sometimes it takes a little difficult lesson to learn what God wants to teach you. So what is God, what is Jesus trying to teach Martha? He says, Martha, Martha. In our translation, he doesn't have Martha, Martha. It says, my dear Martha. So it kind of tells you what the Martha, Martha means. It's making a decision. Typically in Hebrew, this isn't in Hebrew, it would be in Greek, would have been in Greek, but in Hebrew, when you have two words together like that, it's for emphasis. So in creation, when God created the heavens and the earth, it says that he created the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, and he said, and it was good. Tov is the Greek word, or the Hebrew word, tov. And then he says he created the animals, and it was good, tov. And then he says he created, and on and on, you know, animals with 6 days. And then he says he created Adam and Eve, and he said it was tov, tov.
Very good.
Very good. Excellent. So it's emphatic. You get this sense in here that it's a tender and gentle way, but it's emphatic, like getting her attention. Oh, Martha. The details are important, Martha, but don't get wrung out over them. It's not good. It's easy to get burned out or develop selfish motives, and it's easy to do that if you're not in touch with who you are serving or why you are serving. And what Martha had forgotten, because she was distracted, she was cumbered about with much serving, she got distracted from the point that she was supposed to do this with a glad heart. She was supposed to do this and remember and enjoy it. And I think, honestly, if she'd gone in and said, hey, Can I get a little help? I think Jesus would have said, Mary, get in there. What are you doing? We can do this later. He would have said, Lazarus, what are you, dead on your feet? Get in there. Okay, yeah. So, sorry, it was there. You can hit me later. Peter, get up there. Come on. Dude, help her out a little bit. I think Jesus would have done that if Martha had gone and said, hey, I don't know if we're going to have dinner in time here because I'm kind of working pretty hard in here to get some help. But she was upset. She'd lost her perspective. One of the most glamorous and fulfilling tasks as a pastor of this church is unclogging toilets. And I get to do that from time to time. I have done that. You really feel like you're making a difference when you're in there. Actually, it's hard for me not to get a little bit resentful or bitter if I'm in there unclogging a toilet. It's like, guys, don't eat so much fiber, please. Or maybe eat more fiber. I don't know what it takes. There's this sense of resentment. There's the toilet, just in case you weren't sure. Isn't there some better use of my time? Then I realize that my bitterness is from not really seeing people as people, but as objects. I forget that these are people that I love. And snaking out the plumbing is a way of loving them, whether they see it or not. And so I want to do it well, and I want to do it right. And if I'm the person to do that, then so be it. Now, I won't say that I don't struggle with it from time to time, but that's what God wants. That's what Jesus wanted for Martha. Have a good attitude about it. You're supposed to serve from the abundance of your love and my love for you. And if you can't do that, you need to get back and spend some time at Jesus' feet. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Because it matters. That's the theme of the teacher's retreat for next weekend. It matters. Why does it matter? Why does it matter that we serve people? Excellence was, at least at one time, the value of City's Edge. And I remember getting into an argument with some professional ministry trainers. I don't know, it's definitely out of my depth. And I'm saying, excellence matters. They go, good luck with that. And I said, it does, because it's loving people. Why does doing things well matter? Because it tells people, when you put your heart into it, it tells people that they are worth your effort. It tells them that they are worthy of sacrifice. It communicates love when you do things well. Now, if you're all hung up on excellence and you forget the people, you kind of miss the point, haven't you? One of the things that was a turning point for me, there's a reason. I'm going to explain it now in front of you, your parents, whom I love, and your children, and you people who aren't parents. There's a reason that we're doing this thing with the kids about the buffet table. That you're not allowed to be at the buffet table unless you've been signed off if you're under age, I think it's 10 or something. Is that right? Help me, Mary. Did we decide on that? At any rate, we trained the kids, a certain amount of kids when they get to a certain age, with certain things. And those things are careful, helpful, and grateful. So, and the idea, the reason that this came to me was important, is I walked in for the City's Edge 20th anniversary party before it started, and I looked over at that table, and I saw that the way the napkins were arranged, and the colors, and the plasticware, and I thought, this is a sacrament. This is worship. This is a gift. And if we don't honor that, we're making a huge mistake. And I didn't want adults, as well as kids, to go in and just go, yeah, sweet party, I don't care. Who did this? Great. I want us to recognize that that's a sacrifice and it's a service. It's pretty important. Maybe I'm uptight, but that's the way it is. I saw it as love for us. And when Jan and Mary and others do that kind of thing, when Mary puts together the kids' classes and does the decorations in the room, that's love. That's service. When Jan does Second Sunday here and puts all that food together, that's love. That's service. And I hope she has a good attitude about it. If not, you need to spend some time at Jesus' feet. And here's the finale. Here's why Jesus said that. And what he said, go back to the last slide of the thing, the scripture. There it is. Back it up. One more. There it is. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. What the Greek says is, Mary has discovered there's only one good portion. Mary is partaking of the good portion. Mary is partaking of the good portion. There's nothing wrong with service, but the essential part of a relationship with Jesus is listening to him. Not serving him, listening to him. Opening your heart and mind to learn from him. That's what sitting at Jesus' feet means. There's nothing wrong with active service, but it's meaningless without getting to know the one you are serving. And ultimately, we're serving Jesus. And we need to know who he is we're serving. Moses talked about this in Deuteronomy. He said, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry after feeding you, and then feeding you with manna, food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Try to stay with me because you'll find this unbelievable. But I was in Starbucks on Friday. No. And I was studying this passage of scripture, and I go to sit down, and this guy looks like he's about 20 years old. He says, hey, I like your hat, man. Okay, what kind of hat is that? It's like a hat. I think they call it a pub hat. It's a lot like Aaron's. And the guy starts a conversation with me. I'm kind of thinking, what's he trying to sell me? What's going on here? And he actually the discussion starts going into this thing, and he turns out that he's a Christian. Because I don't tip my hand right away. I don't say, I'm a pastor! And you're probably going to hell. I don't do that. Yeah. Though it sounds like fun. I just waited, and he tells me kind of about how he's, you know, his life has changed since February of this year. He became a Christian. And so he goes, well, what do you do? You asked for it. But what was amazing was then he was reading a book about leadership, and it said leadership and passion. And I said, you want to know what my passion is? I'll tell you in two sentences. And so I told him, and I believe that the church is God's physical presence on earth. I believe that. And so if anybody's going to actually, you know, serve and show physical and care to people, it's got to be the church. And if we're going to manifest Christ physically, it's the church. The true church, not just our church, or not if you just attend a church. And he says, well, that's really cool. And so he asked another question. He says, but isn't Satan ruler of the world right now? And I said, yes and no. And so I began to explain to him, you know, about the church and the salt and light, and that we are the thing holding Satan's complete rule back. You believe that? Okay, it's true. So you ought to believe it. And this guy just listened. He was just hanging on my words. I know. You should try it. He was... Sorry, wow. I'm making friends today.
I'm feeling the love.
It was amazing. This 20-year-old kid, Eli, was like, wow, that's really cool. I really learned something today. And I felt like, man, I don't even need to preach on Sunday. I was so impressed. He hung on the words. The kid was obviously hungry to learn about God, so much so that he had no discernment about who he heard it from. But he was truly basing his life on the Word. The Word taught, the Word read. And that's what sitting at Jesus' feet is. It's just being hungry to know who Jesus is. Mary recognized that right in front of him, right in front of her, was the Messiah, was the promised one, the one promised throughout Scripture, the one who would become the deliverer, not only to Israel, but to all who believe. She realized that, and she says, I need more of this. I need to understand. I need to get to know what you're about, who you are, what you think, what you believe, what I need to believe. And this is the spot to do it. And so when Jesus says to Martha, he says, Mary has found the good portion. He's not saying, look, don't serve, don't care about people. He's not saying that. He's saying, you got a good thing right here. Don't miss it. You need to listen. You need to be involved. This is where it's at. We can take care of that. But let's do this. Just before Mayhem, I preached on this passage where in Luke it said, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Second commandment is like it. And what he said in that is that both of these commandments are inseparable. You can't take one from the other. You really cannot love God without serving Him. And you really can't serve God without loving Him and knowing Him. And it starts with knowing Him, but you have to serve Him. So don't get that wrong. And you want to do it well. You want to put your heart and soul into it. Strange thing, if you're not serving others, neither Jesus nor me are buying your devotion. We're not buying it if you're not serving others. In fact, Jesus says so in Matthew 25. He says, the sheep and the goats are divided on both sides. And the sheep are the good ones, and the goats are the ones who are not going to make it. And the goats reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help? The same word for serve, you. He will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. See, service is important. In fact, it's evidence that you have a relationship with God. But it's about the order. You don't want to be serving people without getting close to Jesus, constantly listening, hearing His truth. You want to do that. But then serve, and do it from a heart of grace, love, and gratitude. And when you begin to struggle with burnout, fatigue, frustration, or wrong motives, take a break. Probably not 40 days. But take a break, if you need to, and sit at His feet. Get to know your Savior. Let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to know You, and we want to serve You. Help us to do both. And give us hearts of love for You and for each other. In Jesus' name, amen.